News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dry, windy conditions driving wildfires across the Texas Panhandle into western Oklahoma. Erin O'Connor is with the Texas A&M Forest Service.
Certainly the entire Panhandle is at risk, but that northern area near the Amarillo, Canadian, Tampa area, that seems to be where we're having a lot of wildfire growth at this time.
In suburban Chicago, several tornadoes touched down, including in Hoffman Estates, where Nancy Cramp waited it out with her mother.
All of a sudden the wind picked up and we heard things hitting the roof. We were hitting the windows. We were downstairs. The sirens were already going off.
Lightning and hail also reported. At least 100,000 protest votes cast in the Michigan primary. People writing uncommitted instead of Joe Biden's name on the Democratic ticket as a way of protesting the U.S. policy in Gaza. A funeral service is planned for Russian dissident Alexei Navalny. It'll be held in suburban Moscow on Friday, 2 weeks after his death in a penal colony. This is ABC News. A major gun case before the U.S. Supreme Court today. Justices will hear arguments over whether the ATF can regulate bump stocks, devices that allow semi-automatic weapons to fire more like machine guns. The man who invented them is watching the case closely.
Jeremiah Cottle says he may soon get out of the bump stock business, even though a high court victory could once again help him rake in millions. He says more than anything, the Supreme Court showdown is about vindicating his version of the American dream.
That's ABC's Devin Dwyer. Bump stocks were banned after the 2017 Las Vegas shooting that left 60 people dead. Starbucks and Workers United, the union organizing Starbucks workers, have agreed to start new talks. Workers at nearly 400 locations have voted to unionize. So far, none of those groups have reached a labor agreement, though. City of San Francisco officially apologizing for past racist policies that discriminated against African Americans. The measure approved unanimously by the Board of Supervisors. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A pair of redistricting experts is billing the state $128,000 for the work they did for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. About half of the bill will be paid by taxpayers. The rest of the cost will be covered by the six parties in the case, including three groups funded by private lawyers. The case was effectively closed when Governor Evers enacted new maps last week. Black History Month is winding down, and black leaders in Wisconsin say they're dismayed by the recent rhetoric over diversity, equity, and inclusion. State Representative Lakeisha Myers says civil rights protections are the law for good reason.
So people can get their work done and not be harassed, intimidated, actually have the ability to be hired in certain jobs.
Myers speaking with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Channel. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers at the podium. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where after Jordan Love's success last season, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst getting a lot of questions about how to draft a quarterback.
For me, I've always thought certainly the amount of time and games you've played in college, I think, really does equate to some success at times. And Over my time in the league, you know, that's gone down a lot. These quarterbacks are coming out earlier, and they seem to have less starts under their belt.
College basketball, strange night for the Badgers. An alarm went off in the second half, delaying the game 25 minutes in Indiana. The Hoosiers went on to win 74-70. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Angels 6-4 in Arizona. NBA, the Bucks over the Hornets, 123-85. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are getting better on defense.
I thought we were very physical. Our hands were active. Our deflections over the last four or five games have just skyrocketed.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and quite a bit colder today. Our high right around 25 this afternoon. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. That's going to keep the wind chill factor hovering in the single digits to teens most of the day. Tonight, clear 14. Tomorrow, sunny back up to 45 by Friday. Sunshine with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
State Street or hanging out on the lakes. Thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
The opinions that you may hear us express, expressly or otherwise, over the public's airways is in no way to represent the opinions expressed or otherwise by our management, producers, sponsors, or various members of their staffs or their families or few friends.
Nor should these views express the opinions of the broadcasters, the disc jockeys, the salesmen, the program and music directors, and their secretaries and girlfriends and wives and their staff.
Unless, of course, we are willing to assume that we can assume the responsibility that their opinions will not influence anyone else's opinions.
Or their family and friends.
And staff.
What? All right. Yeah, I never get to finish jotting that down. It goes so quickly. Mad Radio WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM, the capital city, Madison, block away. From the Capitol. We're actually two blocks away now from the Capitol, moving further and further away from politics.
Yes. And our phone number is 608-879-8255. Sam, we got a text here just before we got into the news. So, did you have that handy?
We're talking about Eric Hovde.
Yeah. In response to, they must have seen that the video that the audio we played this from,
yes.
And they texted in saying, am I the only one who thinks Hovde looks like a 70s porn star in his ad?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
He's
getting criticism for
Central
the weird,
casting.
Wacky, the clothes he's wearing during those ads as well. Dan Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote this, possible Senate candidate Eric Hovde has been missing his votes. He voted 17 out of the last 30 elections. 17 out of 30 elections. 17 times. Not an urgent voter by any stretch of the imagination.
That's
not a participant in our democracy.
I didn't know that was public knowledge, everyone. You all miss my votes?
Yeah, we know. Oh, we know when you vote.
Is that right? Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Kind of a Santa Claus thing. We've been checking. We're keeping track.
We know when you've been naughty or nice.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Now we're going to get into white rural rage. Okay?
What is this?
Now, you might remember way back in 2016, The Politics of Resentment. Remember that book? It's The Politics of Resentment, Rural Consciousness in Wisconsin and the Rise of Scott Walker. And that was written by Catherine Kramer. It was very, very popular, and one of the first books written about how people think in rural Wisconsin. Mm. Thank goodness, right?
Okay.
Nice to hear about that. And they're not happy with the way things are going, especially with the help of Scott Walker, who managed to divide Wisconsin by rural and urban settings.
He devised this separation somehow through his policies, through his words. How do you mean that?
Through his policies, through his framing of his policies. So we always pitted city people against the rural individuals. And that was his. He's good at it, by the way. That's why we are so divided in the state right now.
Really? You blame him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't quite like that before. I mean, Tommy Thompson was a nice guy, and Doyle was, you know, a so-so Democratic governor. It was just fine. And everybody was working, and everybody was, you know, complaining, as they always do.
You know, debating, having democracy all running about.
Right,
yeah. I saw Tommy Thompson yesterday, by the way.
You what? Did?
Cooper's Tavern, right on the
Capitol. No kidding.
He walked in, and my work friend Aaron said, "That's Tommy Thompson." I said, "No, it's not, because I haven't seen him in 20 years.
Yeah. He's super nice guy.
Now he's 20 years older, so I didn't recognize him, but yeah, he's a super nice guy.
He gave me a proclamation when I left Madison.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out.
It was great. Yeah, I did a live broadcast from the mansion there, the governor's mansion. And when I was leaving, he made this plaque. I mean, I got this plaque at Channel 15 when I left. It was signed by him. Had a lot of funny little things that we did during that live broadcast. I was rummaging through his kitchen and looking for stuff with the camera coming back. He comes up to me, "What are you doing in here?" It was great. Wow. It was real. And he autographed a Republican tie I still have.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know,
I'm not a Republican, but I thanked him very much, and he's a good guy.
He took control of the UW for a little while and did
Elroy
a great
boy.
Job with that.
Yeah.
But he did have a disastrous run. He came out as a very powerful MAGA, and that didn't work. He was very unconvincing as a MAGA Republican.
He's not actually
no,
one.
He
was
not.
Trying.
He was trying desperately to do that.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe he picked up some of the MAGA ideology, but we don't know. Let's get to White Rural Rage, though.
Okay.
As I mentioned, The Politics of Resentment was a book that came out in 2016. We learned a little bit about what people in rural communities thought. Now, they've got another book out there, and this time it's by Professor of Political Science at the University of Maryland, Tom Shaler, and journalist Paul Waldman. And their book is called White Rural Rage. They appeared recently on Morning Joe, and it's a little longer cut, but I thought this was very revealing. Check it out.
Rural Rage, the threat to American democracy. And Tom, we'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point?
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So, the problems that rural America has, which are very real and very profound, they have the more problematic education systems. They have poor infrastructure. They've had a lack of economic opportunity. We've seen a lot of manufacturing jobs leave from rural areas. And that kind of left them open to someone like Donald Trump, who would come along and tell them something that was true, that there is a system that has not served them well. The trouble is that what Donald Trump gave them was not something that was actually going to fix those problems, but was just a kind of a way to channel their rage and anger. And, you know, we've been told for so long, especially Democrats have been told, that in order to get rural voters, to get them to listen to you, you have to go there, you have to really empathize with them, you have to show them that you understand their lives, you have to, you know, put on a Carhartt jacket and go down to somebody's farm.
Have a beer.
And it turned out that none of that was true.
No.
When Donald Trump came along, he didn't do any of that stuff. He was just a conduit for their rage, their anger, their resentment. And that turned out to be what they wanted. And it wasn't really about the material conditions of their lives, because he didn't improve their lives, but he got more support in rural areas in 2020 than he had in 2016, despite the fact that none of their problems had gotten any better under him. All that he gave them was a way to essentially give a big middle finger to Democrats, to people who live in cities, and to the rest of the country.
I think this is the disconnect, right? They'd rather channel their rage. I think what a lot of rural white
Americans have decided is that their economic fortunes are decided by globalization and, frankly, late stage capitalism, which is eating up all the mom and pop stores and taking away, you know, the extractive industries and coal and farming and so forth. So they might as well vote on their cultural issues. They might as well vote on God, gun and religion, because they feel like neither party is going to deliver any material benefit. They're not going to reverse the closure of rural pharmacies and rural hospitals and rural health care treatment facilities, which are now disappearing, not because of communism and not because of socialism, but because of capitalism, right? Rural pharmacies and hospitals are closing because they're not money makers, and unless they're part of a regional chain, they're disappearing. So Trump comes in and says, let's just hate on cities. Let's just hate on minorities. Let's hate on immigrants. And at least they can deliver on that. And one of the things we argue for, and Paul argues eloquently in our concluding chapter, is that if rural America really wants to revive itself, they need to build a pan-racial, white, non-white coalition in rural America. But there doesn't seem to be any effort whatsoever among white rural Americans to do that.
Well, the book is White Rural Rage. You can find out more in it, The Threat to American Democracy. Authors Tom Schaller and Paul Waldman.
They really covered a lot of ground.
I don't know how to feel.
Good heavens.
I feel like you're being falsely accused here in Wisconsin, for God's sakes.
Well, I tell you, out in the rural areas, I see a lot of Trump trucks and banners and pickup trucks with the Trump flag and the American flag in the background. It's out there.
They really
and it's
did.
Still out there.
They really did start off pretty negative about rural voters, almost to a point where you feel sorry and you think, boy, that seems a little skewed,
it does.
A little negative. But I think somewhere along the way they hit on it, and this is part of the book too, the politics of resentment. We grew that in Wisconsin through Scott Walker's policies. So he really wanted to do that. And what they did was it didn't help farmers at all. They didn't do anything for them. They could have connected them with the internet. They could have given them opportunities to grow their businesses online, but they didn't do that. They let the farmers, their policies, kind of just sit there and just grow into festering into bigger problems because their water supply is now polluted with PFAS or with nitrogen, whatever it is, that, you know, pollution. They let this all happen. They're not doing anything about it. And you know why? Because rural voters basically don't want big government reaching in and doing their environmental stuff out there in their communities. And then now their water is polluted. And they're having trouble with hospitals. They're moving up because of they're not making a profit out there. The schools are closing down. And then, of course, Republicans want to create a private school system, but there aren't any private school systems in the rural areas. So basically, those schools are going to see a decline in the population in their cities because in their communities because the big farmer, the big corporate farms are absorbing the smaller farms. And then the smaller farms, those families disappear. They don't inhabit that area anymore, and the population decreases.
Pam Yonke said something about most farms in Wisconsin are still owned by families. Is that diminishing then?
That's diminishing, right. But there is good news, and there are new farmers coming into the rural areas. They're taking some of those farms that are abandoned, basically, and they're growing new farmers, I hope, anyway. We're going to talk to Pam Yonke very soon about that. But certainly, the resentment is there. They have not been getting helped through government, and they don't want help from government, and that's the problem. In fact, we had a problem with an oversupply of milk, and the price of milk was going up.
Yeah, and one of the things that they touched on there with the White Rural Rage,
right.
That interview there, something that jumped out at me is the big middle finger at government. That is such a huge thing for rural farmers. They just think everything in government, big government, here comes the city folk.
Yep.
They're going to
yep.
tell us how to run things. They're going to clean up our environment. Sure, they don't know what's going on out here, and it's just like a big middle finger. And Trump tapped into that.
And so did Scott Walker. You made them hate government, and
yes.
they didn't have to hate government.
7:19, John and Gordy live from Short Stack Eatery, downtown Madison, 301 West Johnson. Stop by, say hi. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
I joined the Carpenters Union 15 years ago as an apprentice, got free training, and have been able to advance. Now I'm a superintendent running high-profile projects in Madison that change the city's skyline. I'm looking for skilled and experienced carpenters. If you want to join my team with great pay, better benefits, and a chance to advance, apply today. Call 608-240-0314 and press 0 to apply. That's 608-240-0314 and press 0.
Your smile says a lot about you. It can give you confidence and give great first impressions. At West University Family Dentistry, Dr. Thacker and his staff will help ensure your oral health is in top shape because oral health affects your overall health. From routine checkups to advanced treatments, they're here to keep your smile shining bright and to make your dental appointment as pleasant and stress-free as possible. Call West University Family Dentistry at 608-238-6244. 608-238-6244 or log on westuniversityfamilydentistry.com. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM at 1580 AM in Madison.
We are at Short Stack Eatery, 301 West Johnson, John and Gordy, along with Catherine Lake. And
you guys are chair dancing over
here. We're having fun. We were talking a little bit about Short Stack earlier. You know, what comes with the potatoes, John? Let me just ask you a little trivia question. You know what comes if you order pancakes with the potatoes? I know you're stumped. You're just looking at me
stumped.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
that
what?
White and orange stuff. It's Frank's Red Hot Sauce, best in the world, and sour cream, and it's quite literally the best combination on planet Earth.
Wow.
Trust us on this one,
we're
it says.
We're going to have to try that.
Well, Alex is the savory master, so
yes.
She knows.
And I know you were asking this earlier, because I know how much you care about the kids. Do they have a kids' menu?
Yes. I want them to have a kids' menu, please.
Well, they don't have one.
Oh.
They technically don't have a kids' menu, but they do recommend a few smaller items that the kids will really get into. Yeah, they have. You can try the small trio or the short stack for the kids.
Well, have you ever met a child who doesn't like pancakes?
Never. Never. Ever. They all love pancakes.
Well, okay, let me just throw a little, little wrench.
Your kids don't like pancakes.
Life is tough. Wrench in all of this.
You're gonna get bitter about pancakes.
No, I'm not. I'm just a parent, and I think most parents who buy food for their kids in a restaurant see that food just sit on the plate and no one eats it.
Yep.
And you get angry about it.
And you have to eat it.
Yeah, or take it home. Yeah. So, yeah, we buy food for the kids at a restaurant, but they don't eat it.
I think that's how parents gain their first 10 pounds when their kids are young, right?
No doubt.
You're not going to throw it away, God bless it. You're going to just snack on it as you bring it to the dishwasher, whatever's left on their plate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Eat twice every meal.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. The frustrating thing for me is when you go out with friends or relatives and they order these big dinners for their kids and you know they're not going to eat it.
Nowhere near.
And it just makes me angry. You do know they don't eat the food, right?
Every time.
Box it up and take it home.
Well,
what are you going to do?
I can't say anything. You know, they're not my kids.
Mm.
All right, so I clam up, I bottle it up inside, and I go home, and I just...
Well, just relax.
I get furious.
I'm a pancake.
Oh, no.
I'm a pancake.
It's just pancakes.
Look at that theme. Is that from Angry Birds?
I don't know where it came from, actually.
I got to say it. I just feel much better now. Yeah.
And the syrup, the good maple syrup. Oh, man.
Boy, they have good stuff here for maple syrup. They really do. Would you please?
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'll tell you what. I want to play something light.
Okay.
Something ridiculous.
Really?
Something stupid.
Oh, good.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
All right. Just something out there.
Lighthearted.
Okay. Yeah. Just a. This is tracks 365. Sam, just cue this baby up.
What's the deal?
It's the former Prime Minister of Australia talking about Trump and his admiration of Putin.
Okay.
And I just love this.
When warm, you see Trump fuzzy. With Putin, as I have on a few occasions, he's like the 12-year-old boy that goes to high school and meets the captain of the football team. My hero. It is really creepy. It's really creepy. Now,
and
I don't,
that struck you at the time.
Oh, absolutely. It struck everybody. It was like you could touch it. It was creepy. The creepiness was palpable.
Are you trying to say they're having a bromance?
No, I'm not saying. I'm just telling you what I saw. Regrettably, the Republican Party under Donald Trump, and particularly the right wing of the Republican Party, are very sympathetic to Vladimir Putin. I mean, I've been with Trump and Putin. Trump is in awe of Putin. Tyrants are often popular. You see, the key to democracy, liberal democracy, is that it empowers the majority, but it also, through the rule of law, constrains the majority. And if you get to the point where anybody who can muster a majority, and I don't think Trump can do that, by the way, but anyone who can muster a majority is given absolute power and then can do whatever they like to the minority, that's not a democracy. That is a tyranny. That is an autocracy, even if it's got the support of 51% of the population. That is not what makes a democracy. A democracy, as we understand it, is one where the rule of law protects all citizens and the rule of law applies to all citizens, whether they're the president or the prime minister or an ordinary, elector.
Wow. And that's something that Trump was arguing against. Of course, he wants total power.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the first day, John.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Dictator for a day.
Yeah. And then it'll feel good that first day. And then, of course, you know, maybe we could just keep going with this thing.
Day two.
And that is Malcolm Turnbull, the former 29th Prime Minister of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Giving us a little lesson in democracy, the prison colony.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, now let's talk about Governor DeSantis, who also was another authoritarian, still doing his thing in Florida. But, you know, he took over the new college in Florida, and that didn't work out. It's not working out well, by the way. They're losing professors by the handful. It was a slap at the rare sanctions, by the way, recently levied upon the new college because of what they have done down there. The American Association of University Professors has placed just 12 other universities on its sanctions list over the last three decades. So they levy these sanctions on the college. It doesn't do anything. But they're making a point. They're just making a point. That's it. The nonprofit wrote in a report that its decision stemmed from New College's unprecedented, politically motivated takeover. Now, you don't want to be known for that.
That's not a positive.
That's not a positive thing. Yeah.
No.
You don't want to put that in your literature, you know. Come on, join us here at the college, right?
Okay.
It's a politically motivated takeover.
Mm.
DeSantis praised the move as necessary to save the school from ruin when they changed it from a nice liberal arts college to what they have now, and that is a college of propaganda.
Liberal arts is a bad message, I know. That's just become a dirty word, liberal.
Yeah, liberal, and it's part of that.
We got to rework that.
Yeah, probably. You're right. But you know, the thing is, the new college had turned out Fulbright scholars.
Oh, really?
So they were doing fairly well.
They were doing fine.
They were doing just great. and DeSantis is wrong that they had to save the school from ruin. Okay.
Yeah, he was not correct.
Okay. Leroy Parnell, Florida A&M law professor, said this, and this was a very appropriate wrap up on this.
Okay.
What we are witnessing in Florida is an intellectual reign of terror. There is a tremendous sense of dread right now, not just among faculty. It's tangible among students and staff as well. People are intellectually and physically scared. What? We are being named an enemy of the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
That's it. Huh?
That's insane, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Isn't that
top
the mic?
You're just talking about a college here.
Okay. It is 7:28. John and Gordy, Catherine Lake with us, and a bunch of friends stopping by. We thank them for doing that.
Yeah.
You can stop by. We'll be here for another half hour. And right ahead of us, we've got news, weather, and Pam Yonke with the agricultural report. When we come back, lame duck laws and Ken Cheesebro.
You got it.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Love is in the air around the state of Wisconsin, and it's got a very distinct odor. Skunk. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Oh, if you've been out jogging or taking a walk with the dog, if you hit it just right, you're going to catch the breeze of a skunk, and that's normal for this time of the year. That's according to David Drake. He's a professor and extension wildlife specialist at UW-Madison, and he said, this is the time of the year when our skunks are starting to mate.
Right now is prime skunk breeding season. So skunks are starting to breed in February and March, and then they'll have young in May. They have about a two-month gestation period where they actually are pregnant, the females are. But at this time of the year, the males are starting to expand their territory, expand their movements to look for those female skunks. So not only do you have a better chance of seeing skunks at nighttime, but you also have a better chance of seeing or smelling skunks at this time of the year, just simply because the males are much more active looking for those female skunks, and they're increasing the area that they're actually moving.
David Drake is a professor and extension wildlife specialist at the UW-Madison. He said there's a lot of young skunks that are wandering around Wisconsin right now. Skunks stay with their mother for about the first full year of their life until she's ready to breed again. When that happens, she essentially kicks them out of the house. Drake says that's kind of like those young drivers that we have in our homes. They've got their driver's license, but they don't necessarily know what they're doing. He said that can lead to more encounters with the human population.
Attention farmers and contractors, it's that time of year again. Time to spring clean your sheds and sell your equipment with Steffes Group at the upcoming Wisconsin Area Equipment Auction closing March 27th. Showcase your equipment to the right buyers and maximize your sale potential. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for more information on this and other upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide. That's steffesgroup.com.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
And Friday, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection will introduce us to the six finalists that would like to be Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador as Alice in Dairyland. The announcement will happen Friday morning at the Landmark Resort in Egg Harbor. Door County is acting as the host for the final phase of interviews. That happens May 2nd through the 4th, again, in Door County. And that's an update on food news for a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and quite a bit colder today. Our high right around 25 this afternoon. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. That's going to keep the wind chill factor hovering in the single digits to teens most of the day. Tonight, clear 14. Tomorrow, sunny back up to 45 by Friday. Sunshine with a high of 52. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
When you're having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again, quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Wine, the only fancy French wine sold in a handy resealable cardboard carton. 49 cents a quart or 89 cents a gallon. Sure, you pay a few pennies more, but it's worth it.
Come on, Catherine. It's cold out there this morning.
At Radio WMDX, it is chilly out there, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM in Madison. We better check and find out what the current temperature is.
Can we do this by remote?
This is important stuff.
Yeah, can we do the weather wheel from here?
Well, we can see it.
Okay.
Let's try it.
All right, let's spin the wheel and find out the current temperature. There we go. Round and round it goes. Where it stops, only it knows.
You're gambling on the weather?
Yes, it's...
The weather roulette
wheel.
It is
13 degrees in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's fantastic.
13 is the magic number.
All right, we got a little response here, a text from Mark out in Prairie du Sac, I believe.
Yep.
Interesting that Walker or Trump could appeal to rural folks, as neither were reared in the rural areas. And that is very true. I grew up in far northern Wisconsin, 15 miles as the crow flies south of Lake Superior, and could walk out the back door and hit the woods or take a bike and go a half mile to Trout Creek. Well, that's country.
That's rural.
Yeah, it is.
That's real country.
Thanks, Mark.
Country.
Appreciate that text.
All right, let's get to a topic here I brought in. I put a lot of work into this.
No, I didn't.
But I did.
I did.
I've avoided this whole thing, this whole Kenneth Chesebro thing. I've avoided it. I didn't want to talk about it. It's just, you know, it's in the weeds stuff. Let them work this out. Let the AGs, you know, finally take these people on, these fake electors. Okay. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But now I'm going to have to say something.
Okay.
Oh, you're forced.
Here we go. Get the soapbox out.
Well, yeah, big thing here, Kenneth Chesebro. How do you say his last name? Should we check this out? Let's find out how to say his last
name. Yes, just like cheese and bro. Not Chesebro, Chesebro. No, Chesebro.
There you go.
Cheese.
So how
bro.
Do you say
yes,
croissant?
Just like cheese and bro. Not cheesy bro.
Neither. Okay.
So how like do that. You say croissant in French with the typical French pronunciation?
Some cheese bro with my croissant.
Croissant.
We have somehow figured out a way to get a guy who has a French accent to give us the pronunciation of American words and names. That's fine. You know, I'm getting it.
I'm getting it. It works.
All right. Well, anyway, Chesebro, who helped devise the Trump campaign's fake electors plot, concealed a secret Twitter account from Michigan prosecutors, hiding dozens of posts that undercut his statements to investigators about his role in the scheme. Can you believe this?
Yeah, this is coming out now. Right?
Yeah, his account was Badger Pundit. How do you like that? Mm-hmm. Trump does. This is what he wrote. Trump doesn't have to go to the courts to declare him the winner of the vote. He just needs to convince Republican legislatures.
That's all.
That's what he said.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and then he added to that. The Trump campaign is discussing plans to ask state representatives to set aside the election results in their state and select Trump electors. Huh? That's kind of obvious there.
Okay.
And then he also wrote, He was, by the way, he was told, well, no, no, that can't be legal. You can't do something like that. And then he came back with this. It's called politics, dude.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
You, you know, you got
it. Okay.
You can't argue with that.
No,
you
really can't. It's brilliant.
So, yeah, it's okay. It, you know, they don't have any limits.
No.
Right? There's nothing to hold them up. And if you ever wanted to question whether this was an insurrection or not, I think we've answered that question. Yeah. 1,000 times.
Yeah. I just feel sorry for Republicans. My dad was a Republican. My mom voted Republican. She was really a Democrat musician. But I just feel sorry for you guys. You lost your party. You've lost your way.
Yeah.
MAGA has taken over your perfectly reasonable conservative platform and turned it into nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolute nonsense.
Run by a madman.
The madman has never lost power, actually.
Right.
Yeah. And here's something, and I've got a little cut here. Well, actually, it's not a little cut, but I think this is really, really interesting stuff. It's from a place called Courier Newsroom. I've run across them recently.
Yeah, they give us Up North News.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
And they did an analysis of Project 25. It's actually Project 2025, but it's Project 25, and they explained what's in it, and it's a Republican plan to ban abortion nationwide. This is track 357, okay? 357.
Trump's not just bragging about overturning Roe versus Wade.
For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it.
He's also preparing to install an army of MAGA loyalists to help him ban abortion nationwide. Three key facts about how Project 2025, the 800-plus page presidential plan penned by Trump's allies, would strip Americans of reproductive freedom. Number one. Trump could make abortion inaccessible without passing any new laws. The centerpiece of Project 2025 is replacing the non-political staff of government agencies with MAGA henchmen. That includes the FDA. On page 458, former Trump staffer Roger Severino calls for a MAGA FDA to reject medical science and reverse its approval of all abortion medication, effectively banning it nationwide. But the plan goes much further. Striking down Roe versus Wade might have set reproductive freedom back to 1973, but Project 2025 would take it back to 1873. On page 562, Trump Department of Justice official Jean Hamilton declares that a MAGA DOJ would enforce the Comstock Act of 1873, which bans the mailing of, quote, anything designed, adapted, or intended for producing abortion, and is still technically on the books. This could be used to block not just the shipment of abortion pills, but any medical instruments used in abortions. Project 2025 also seeks to end insurance coverage for abortion. On page 585, former Trump official Jonathan Berry writes about working to, quote, keep anti-life benefits out of benefit plans offered by employers. On page 472, Severino calls to block Medicaid funds to states that require insurers to cover abortion. And on page 642, former Trump VA official Brooks D. Tucker plans to block the VA from offering abortions to veterans.
There you
go. Wow. I have nothing. Okay. I have nothing.
It's breathtaking.
It is.
In its scope. That is what is being planned. Now, Trump has denied that any of these groups, their plans will be part of his administration. And that's just a lie. These are the people that have worked for him already that are supporting him. And that are, well, let's just put it this way. Has Trump ever worked a day in his life, really?
No.
Except maybe in court, defending himself or trying not to pay a contractor. That's the only time he's ever really worked. But he is not going to really manage the country at all. Mm-hmm. And these groups are helping him manage the country. And that's why he will take their help. He will take their policies. This whole thing is really what it's all about. I have one more cut on that. 358, Sam, if you could cue that up. And this kind of explains where we're going with what you just heard. Let's hear it.
Number two. Project 2025 calls for abortion surveillance. On page 455, Severino seeks to ramp up, quote, the CDC's abortion surveillance, writing, because liberal states have now become sanctuaries for abortion tourism, HHS should use every available tool to ensure that every state reports exactly how many abortions take place within its borders, including the mother's state of residence. This abortion registry could put anyone who travels for an abortion from a state where it's banned at risk of prosecution when they get home. Number three, there's nothing pro-life about the anti-abortion plans in Project 2025. The plan threatens to block emergency rooms from performing abortions even in life-threatening situations. Currently, there's a law that requires any hospital that accepts Medicare, which is basically all of them, to perform abortions when the life of the parent depends on it. Republicans are fighting that before the Supreme Court. But even if they fail, page 473 calls on a MAGA-controlled HHS and DOJ to invert the federal interpretation of that law so that any hospital that performs an emergency abortion could be at risk of losing federal funds. And going to a clinic could get a lot more dangerous. Page 558 calls for the DOJ to reverse course on prosecuting extremists who block clinic entrances and threaten patients and doctors with violence. And of course, Project 2025 seeks to slash programs that would help the children it would force Americans to give birth to, like school lunch programs, see page 302, food stamps, see page 299, and education programs like Head Start, see page 482. You can read more for yourself at their website, project2025.org. I'm Alan Piper at APiper13. This is my third video about Project 2025.
And there you go. Yeah,
okay.
That's sickening.
Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah.
And it covers everything. They're just going to pull everything away from the public.
I guess if you live long enough, everything can come back. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that we're talking about abortion again after how many years we had it in play? 50?
50, yeah.
And
they
take it out, and the IVF business down in Alabama. I had an ectopic pregnancy. Mm. If it had not been aborted, I would have died.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Wow. Yeah.
We have to take care of our birthing women.
Yeah. And I also had something in my family like
give
that.
Give them freedom. Yeah. Give us, keep our freedom. It's my body.
Absolutely. Sam?
Are you guys familiar with the book or the TV show, The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Have you read or watched any of it?
It was really hard to watch.
I've watched some of it.
It's tough to watch.
For anyone listening who doesn't know about it, it's a work of fiction, but it's all based on events that have actually happened in history. And it's like a dystopian novel about like a future United States where it's been taken over by right-wing extremists. And it's in an age where basically it's like really hard for people to get pregnant and have children. And so there's this like whole state structure about like people being forced to people being forced to have children that they don't want. And my girlfriend and I are watching this right now, and she keeps comparing Project 2025 to it, and it's really something that worries her. And not many people know about it. More people need to know about Project 2025 and what they really want to do, because it's not good. We need to stop it.
Right. I mean, you could take maybe one or two things out of Project 2025. And that would be bad enough.
Right, right.
But if you listen to every little angle that they have.
It's a long list.
It's worthy of visiting. What's the URL again for that? Did he say Project 2025? .com, was it? .org?
I don't know. We'll have to Google
that. Sam, maybe you can get that.
You can just put it in Google Project 2025 and it comes up.
Project2025.org.
Yeah, okay. They have videos of it too as well. Here's the thing about The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
You know, they have these gowns, right? These red gowns.
And the hoods.
Yeah. And I saw the cartoon. Did I mention this cartoon before?
No.
They have like three of these women in these gowns.
Right.
And they're just leaning up against a wall, and the one is saying, "Yeah, but I thought Biden was too old."
Okay. Yeah, right.
I'm getting the inference. Got it.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay.
I know. And I got to say this, too, you know, mentioning the fact that it's a dystopian tale, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the last 20 years, a lot of movies were mostly based on dystopian outlooks. Right. I had a hard time watching any of them. I stopped watching them. I really liked them all, you know, Mad Max. And I was a big fan of those dystopian shows and movies. But as we went through the Governor Walker era,
mm-hmm.
and then we went through the George W. Bush era.
A little too real, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just too real. I couldn't watch them anymore.
No doubt about it. 7:49, we are coming back with lighthearted leftovers, tidbits, this, that, and the other.
You gotta laugh.
Yeah.
All right.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Peach Wobble.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool. And you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. Mm-hmm. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin?
I do have
the answer coming. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame,
Brewers
making
baseball.
This a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
The funeral leftovers.
The day we eat all the leftovers.
I'll just have leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
Oh, we will. We'll try to anyway.
I bet there's no leftovers here at Short Stack Eatery.
Oh, no. My friends just came down to eat, and they just took it all with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's really bad. I was going to order a Short Stack right at 7 o'clock.
You have no time.
And I forgot.
Yeah.
forgot.
We'll do it right after this show.
Short Stack Eatery right in the corner, right on State Street.
Yep.
The address is Johnson, though, right?
Right. Yeah. 301 Johnson. And State Street, and we are here with Catherine Lake, John Peterson. I'm Gordy, and
I'm Gordy. Sorry.
And
thank you. Oh, hey, guess what? We've got Brewers baseball day. What? It's 6 degrees or no, 13 degrees. We've got Brewers baseball.
Are they taking on the Cubs?
No, they're taking on the San Diego Padres, but thank you for asking, John. It's 2 o'clock. It's the broadcast time on WRCE, a proud Civic Media station. You can listen on the Civic Media app. It's baseball time again. Can't wait. The Cubs are going to kick butt this year.
I think they took on the Cubs yesterday.
Bellinger back. He's got a 3-year contract.
Really?
It's going to be a great year for the Cubs.
Yeah, but the former manager of the Brewers is now manager of
Craig Counsell. Yes, he came over to the Cubs. Absolutely. A Notre Dame guy.
Boy, that's not going to be fun when they all clash.
Okay.
So we got to smile a little bit.
That's right. We want to thank everybody here at Short Stack for allowing us to broadcast today here right in the big window. And we hope we'd like to come back sometime.
Well, I think they know they made a mistake.
Oh, really? You don't think there's a chance? Okay.
We're just draining their coffee.
They've been so nice to us.
I know. That's unusual. No one's ever nice to us.
Thanks to Alex and Sinead and the crew here. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to something really fun.
I don't trust you.
This is an old video. It's Elon Musk's brother. Never mentioned his name.
A brother?
But yeah, he is a brother, and they were being interviewed on the show. And I thought this was rather revealing because all of a sudden his brother came out and said that they were illegal immigrants. What? Well, here let's hear that cut here. Let's check that out.
We'll give you $3 million.
Yeah. For... That sounded extremely. We thought they were crazy. Like, I mean, why would they do that?
It was literally like these people are insane.
They obviously do not realize we're sleeping in the office.
In fact, when they did fund us, yeah. they realized that we were illegal immigrants.
Well, I mean,
yes, we were.
I'd say it was a gray area.
Yeah, yes, we were. We were illegal immigrants. No. We were sleeping in the office. We didn't have a car. We had one car, but the wheel kept falling off.
It's not a gray area.
His name's Kimball. Kimball Musk.
Kimball Musk.
Oh, Elon Kimball and Kimball. He's got a great big cowboy hat on.
That is, isn't that something?
Illegal immigrants.
They were illegal immigrants when they first started, and they got funded to do what? To do the electric car?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Who cares?
I don't think they got very far in that clip. You know, they really didn't explain a lot, but they did feature that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He owns a kitchen restaurant group. And they have one in Chicago. Actually.
I just want you to keep in mind it's a gray area.
Okay.
Now, let's not draw conclusions.
Okay.
Elon Musk told us.
It's gray. Okay.
All right. Good to know.
I don't know if you guys have HBO at all. Okay. Do you have it?
Max.
Have
you watched it? You bet. Yeah. Yep.
And have you watched the series The Boys?
No. Mm-mm.
It's a superhero series, essentially. Superheroes who, by the way, when they were kids, they took a drug by a major pharmaceutical in the show, and they got superhero powers from it. And that is basically the premise of it. Anyway, it's a brutal show. It's bloody as hell.
Oh, no.
And I just want you to know, I'm warning you.
Okay, it's not like fun time.
This is a bloody show, but it's coming back on Amazon Prime. Oh, it's on Prime. I'm sorry.
What's
it's
it
not
called
HBO.
Again?
It is The Boys.
The Boys.
It's Amazon Prime.
All right.
And season 4 is coming out on June 13th, three-episode premiere. So you can check it out. You binge watch 3 of them. But it is just an amazing. You know, when I first saw this show, the first scene in this show was this guy was on the street talking to his girlfriend. Yeah. And she said, well, I'll see you later. And she steps off the curb. Now, she didn't hit by a bus or anything. She got hit by a super fast superhero.
Oh, no.
That's how it opens?
Who ran through her. She exploded into little pieces.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And, it was,
and you were in. You were hooked from that moment on.
No.
No.
No, I wasn't. I can't stand people dying in movies.
Oh. It's you're just sensitive.
Really, yeah.
I actually am.
Wow. Well, do you get to the point where you're actually asking yourself, would you take this drug to become a superhero?
Well, that's one of the points
show.
It's a good plot boy.
Yeah? Flying?
I'd
that's
like
a thing?
Fly. Yes. I wouldn't want to fly in cold days, but I'd like to fly in the summer. Wouldn't you zip up State Street?
So you already got limits on having a superpower, huh?
Well, I wouldn't utilize it in the warmer months down south.
Work through that, I think. If you have a superpower and you can fly, you're not going to worry about the cold. You can wear some heavy clothing. Who knows?
My parka? That would be a scary sight. Now, parka flying.
It depends what on how fast you can fly.
What superpower would you have?
What superpower?
Yeah. What would you go with?
I'd probably go with super strength.
Super strength.
Really?
Yeah, opening bottles without trouble.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a handy one.
I'd go with invisibility. I think that's a cool power.
You're a stalker.
Yeah.
That's kind of perverted, man. What the hell is wrong with you? that sounds sick to me, but I don't know. That's all right.
That was my childhood dreams, flying. Did you have the flying dreams when you were a kid?
I don't recall the flying dreams, no.
I had one repetitive one going from my yard to my neighbor's yard when I was four years old. That's my earliest memory.
There you go.
Okay.
Don't give two.
Her wish to have a superpower is based on a dream that she had when she was a child.
Yeah.
Well, and I know you're really into superpowers because you have the costumes. You have like, 15, 20
costumes
that you wear. You guys
home.
Go to all the Comic-Con dressed as I don't know what.
The Hulk, apparently, because he wants strength.
Well, I was Doctor Strange for many years.
Still Doctor Strange, John. I don't know. I break it to you. You've adopted that character completely, 100%.
The first costume I wore to a Comic-Con, it was recent before I got the Doctor Strange costume, and this is a homemade costume for Doctor Strange, but I went there in a onesie Spider-Man.
Oh, pictures,
costume,
please.
A yeah. onesie. You know, they sell them at the store.
Sure,
right?
They do.
You know, for sleeping.
They do.
Right?
Okay.
Not the shores.
And I wore that because I didn't have any other costume. Lord. And it was stupid. Okay. It was stupid. I should never have done that.
Very proud of you.
Okay. Hey, guess what? We got to end it right there. We thank our friends from Short Stack Eatery here at 301 West Johnson. And thanks to Catherine Lake.
Yes.
For John Peterson, I'm Gordy Young. Sam Davison flipping the switches back at the station. We hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Leap Day. So long. Yeah.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This St. Paddy's Day, if you want a pot of gold, list your home with the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
Excuse me, kind sir, but it's not Paddy's, it's Patty's, as in Patrick.
When selling or buying with Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you'll get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes. We like to say that movetomadison.com is kind of like a pot of gold.
Ooh!
It is the number one site for leprechauns to search for new homes this St. Paddy's Day. Visit the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Raging wildfires prompting urgent evacuations in the Texas Panhandle. ABC's Mola Lenghi.